This is Mary Alice, and you're listening to Global Heart to Heart Radio. Today, I am joined by Daniel Perry, the founder of Book Stay Hop, Southern Oregon and Baja Mexico's premier online luxury vacation rental agency. Book Stay Hop provides vacation rental listings on over 1,000 booking sites worldwide. They offer distinctive homes, cottages, and cabins located throughout downtown Ashland, Hyatt Lake, Southern Oregon Wine Country, the Oregon Coast, and Loreto Bay, Baja, Mexico. The very personalized services of Book Stay Hop make any getaway that you are planning easy, enjoyable, and memorable. Check them out at bookstayhop.com. Good morning. This is Mary Alice from Global Heart to Heart Radio. And today I am with Daniel Perry of Book Stay Hop.
Well, thank you very much. I'm happy to be here this morning.
We're happy you're here. Book Stay Hop is hopping these days, isn't it?
It's a little surprising, but yes, it's hopping these days.
Mm-hmm. It's beyond what you even expected at this point, isn't it?
For this year, absolutely. I was really lucky about 2 weeks ago to be on a call with John Suzuki. John Suzuki is the CMO, the Chief Marketing Officer with VRBO. Mm-hmm. And I've known him for years. And he made a comment and he said, you know, if you're within 5 hours of a major metro area, the Bay Area, Portland, and you happen to be somewhere in the middle, you're probably going to be doing pretty well right now because everybody wants to stay in a vacation rental that is in one of those areas. And he said, so you know who I'm talking about, that guy in Southern Oregon? And I was like, wow.
Sweet. Very sweet.
Literally thousands of people listening to his call all over the world. And he, you know, dropped that pin right on us.
I love it. So we have people coming from the Bay Area, people coming from Portland. Why is everybody so attracted to Southern Oregon?
I think it's a combination of things. I think that the first thing that, you know, that John had mentioned is proximity. In the beginning, I think when all of this started happening in March and April, people were thinking, where can we go that's within a few hours? When California made a lot of their major changes and kind of shutting back down again, where's the closest places I can go or the closest place I can go to that's out of state? People started looking up Southern Oregon. Guests have told us that they have thought about coming here for 20 years. We thought about coming to Ashland. We thought about Southern Oregon and the wineries, but we just never did it.
Went to other places.
They went to other places.
Get off on a plane.
Mm-hmm. And so here they are. And it's that combination. It's people coming from the Bay Area, coming from Portland, even Seattle now. And then a lot of locals, which is surprising as well. But people have been cooped up in their house for a long time. And if they can be cooped up in a cabin on the lake or cooped up in a property that's over on the ocean, they just want to change a venue. And now that their kids are most likely going to school online, as long as we have good internet.
All right. So tell me about Book Stay Hop, the whole story.
Book Stay Hop is a new version of a travel agency. There's always confusion in what we do. There are a number of companies that are out there that help people manage their vacation properties by doing property management of their vacation properties. That's not who we are. I felt like there were too many of those companies out there right now. And I knew where my skill set was with a background as a concierge and working with others that also had a similar background. And that's the company that we wanted. We wanted to help people book their stay. We wanted to help manage that booking and give that guest the best possible experience that we could. Mm-hmm. And that's how we started. We started with 6 properties 4 years ago. As of 2 weeks ago, we crossed 100 properties.
You offer to manage people's bookings? You know, oh yeah, I'll take that place for 2 days or whatever and you take care of it. So how is it that your company manages that?
This is how it came about. I am a licensed designer, interior design. Most of my work is commercial, but occasionally I do residential as well. I worked for a division of Ritz-Carlton for many years doing vacation homes. And when we moved back to Southern Oregon, I stayed in that venue, mostly working on people's second homes and vacation homes. And I'd be in town and I'd bump into somebody at dinner and I'd say, hey, how's that property? And oh my gosh, we love it so much. no one ever stays at it, but we love it so much. And we thought, what a strange comment to make. Right. I said, well, how come no one's staying at it? Well, we have to have it on this side. And then we have to be there to answer the question. And we like to travel and we're retired and we're right. busy. And then they said, would you ever be interested in managing our property? And it was somebody I'd known for 25 years. And I thought, well, what the heck? You know, as a designer, you have peaks and valleys. You're busy some parts of the year and other parts of the year you're not, or you're in between contracts. And I thought, let's give it a try. Maybe that would even out my other career.
Right.
Two or three properties became four or five properties, became six properties. And right at six properties, I thought, do we have an idea here? Mm-hmm. And the platform was to repeat what we did with Ritz-Carlton. Mm-hmm. Ritz-Carlton doesn't book through Ritz-Carlton. Ritz-Carlton is on thousands of websites all over the world, and they direct people back to them. And I thought, well, what if we could do that with, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Smith and Mr. and Mrs. Jones, and take their little property that they have up in the mountains, or the little property that they have along the creek, mm-hmm. and put that on that same platform. And it worked. It worked really, really well.
So I go online and I'm looking for a place in Hyatt Lake.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes me to Book Stay Hop.
It could. You can book on a number of different sites. And that's been one of the interesting things that's happened specifically to this area. And that's been our growth in the Asian market. About 18% of our guests that stayed with us last year were from Asia. Mm-hmm. And people say, why here? And you say, well, think about it. Everybody's been to Disneyland. Everybody's been to Yosemite and Yellowstone. What's the next adventure? Mm-hmm. You know, a rural adventure. For us, we might not consider this area rural. For people coming from cities of millions and millions of people, we're quite rural.
I consider it rural.
Yeah. I go back and forth. It definitely has directed people. The number one site in China is a company called Sea Travel, the letter C, like China, mm-hmm. travel. We can't even see it from here. We don't have access to it, but we're on those sites.
Oh, wow.
And so we see those bookings come in, and we're the only properties that are listed on those sites in this area of the Pacific Northwest.
Good for you.
Yeah, and so it automatically directs people there. The other part that was important to it for us was to make sure that we were very review driven. So on sites like Airbnb and VRBO, we drive those reviews. So last week we hit 2,500 reviews on Airbnb.
Wow.
So that's more Airbnb reviews than any single host in the state of Oregon at 4 years old. So when people...
That's incredible.
Thank you. When people see our properties, we sometimes get a comment, I don't know how I cannot stay with you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand how you have this many reviews. And even our Airbnb representative said, you know, what you're doing is dangerous. Mm-hmm. What do you mean it's dangerous? He said, you have so many properties, you should split up your cabins at Hyatt Lake onto one site, and your properties in downtown Ashland on another, and your properties over on the coast in another. And that way, if you have an epic failure, then it's not going to affect your entire portfolio. Why would we have an epic failure if we're doing our jobs and doing what we're supposed to do? So the other portion of that is what they call superhost status. And every online travel agency like Airbnb or HomeAway has their own version of that. And so we entered those top rankings in our first 6 months in business, and we've never exited those top rankings. I only wanted to do this, like I said, this was, you were talking about how did the company come about. I mean, the way I explained it was sort of by accident. Mm-hmm. I never expected what I call the child. You know, the parent is my design company. I never expected the child to outgrow the parent.
Mm-hmm.
It's far exceeded the original company.
You paid attention.
I paid attention.
You paid attention and saw an opportunity.
Yeah.
Very good.
And we're holding on to that, and we're growing very specifically, and we choose the properties that we take. I like properties that tell a story. I am adamant when I interview clients about what their goals are. These would be clients that have vacation properties. And if their first goal is a financial goal, they're probably not my client.
Mm-hmm.
My clients are people that want to give guests a great experience, that want to tell a story about the artwork they have in their house or the area that they live in, or a place that's been a family property to them for decades that they would now like to share with other people. There has to be more in the story than just financial. My background in design is in historic design. And you can tell when you're on our website, our portfolio, that I'm drawn to certain types of properties. Often I'm lucky enough to get these properties through investors where I get to do the design work as well. So I'll get to design the property, specifically turning it into a vacation property, and then manage it as a vacation portfolio within our company. So we call it double dipping. So sometimes we get to double dip on these properties. Mm-hmm. And we have six of them now. We have six of them, including probably the most historic property in all of Oregon outside of Portland, which is the Noonan Mansion in Jacksonville. Mm. And it's stunning. You know, movies have been filmed there and TV shows, and it's a building that I've been familiar with for over 30 years. Mm. And used to sneak into as a 20-year-old. It's great too. And, you know, it's definitely a house with a history. It has a huge piano inside the house. It's so large that the house, that portion of the house was built around the piano.
Wow.
So
the piano, what kind of piano is that?
It's a grand piano, but I don't know my grand piano as well. Right. It's a specific one from Germany that somehow got all the way over here in the 1800s and was reassembled while they were building the house and is now part of the house. Quite out of tune, but still lovely to look at. And then, you know, the house has its own little characters. There's some things that happen in that house, but it's all positive and fun.
I bet. Ooh, I bet you have a lot of good stories about that. So people are booking on your site. You're managing the sites that they're booking on.
We do. So we use a platform. Basically, it's a large booking calendar. And so this booking calendar, if you think of it sort of like a globe, it sits in the middle. And this booking calendar is the software that we use. It's proprietary to us. It's something that we co-developed with the company that invented it. And we've taught it to speak different languages, and not only actual different languages, but to be able to speak to other people's software. So it can speak to Airbnb, it can speak to HomeAway, it can speak to Mr. B&B, it can speak to Booking.com. It knows how to take that information from those sites, bring that information in, and then talk to those other sites again and say, I've received a booking. So you can imagine if you were on 1,000 different sites and you receive a booking, well, how do you tell those 999 other sites that you had a booking so you don't get a double booking? So the way the system handles that is it takes that booking from Sea Travel in China. It comes into our system, and our system says, well, now, wait a minute. I have to tell 999 other sites that I have a booking so I don't get another booking on top of that. And so it goes out and it does that.
Okay, so now I've booked in one of your properties. Mm-hmm. How do you personalize that for me?
That's a great question. So it's a combination of different things. We call it 10 points of touch. So we have 10 points of touch that we do with the guests. It sounds like a lot, and people are like, you're going to talk to our guests 10 times? Not exactly, right. But we're going to contact them in one way or another. Okay. So the first thing is a thank you and an acknowledgement.
Okay.
And in that acknowledgement are a number of questions. You know, what brings you to this area? Is there anything we can help with? And here's a short list of our recommendations. If you'd like more recommendations, please let us know. Some people engage us from that and some people don't.
And that's your kind of concierge.
It's our entryway into that. Mm-hmm. And then we determine from their responses or the way they respond back to us. They could respond back through email. They could respond back with a phone call. Mm-hmm. How we're best going to stay in contact with that guest.
Okay.
Some people have it down. They've been here before. They come through here all the time. You know, they'd love to know about maybe a couple of the new restaurants, right. but that's about it. Other people are, you know, coming here from Scotland. Mm-hmm. And this may be their one and only time here. And we do hand holding throughout the entire thing. They know Crater Lake. They know that there are wineries.
Right.
They know about Oregon Shakespeare, but they don't know how to take it to the next step or how to put that together. People are often unfamiliar with our distances in this area. Mm-hmm. They'll say, well, we were thinking we would have breakfast, go to Crater Lake, and then at lunch, we might go see a play. And I'm like, right. stop.
You haven't gone to Crater Lake yet.
Yeah. there are some gaps. There are some gaps in between that. We're going to go to the coast for the day, but then we'll be back to do this.
And yeah.
Again, stop and make sure that they are having the experience that they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
We contact them while they're having their stay. So while they're staying with us, we aren't intrusive, but we pop in usually a couple times. If it's a 4 or 5 day stay, probably two times, making sure everything's going okay. Did we miss anything? Is there anything extra that you needed? Is there anything you forgot?
Do you find people like that, or do they get annoyed that you're stopping in, or?
When we're not physically stopping in, we're stopping in over the phone or online. Okay. Mm-hmm. and letting them know. Because sometimes people they'll say the silliest things. We had somebody the other day and she said, "Oh, you asked, I don't want to answer." we'll answer. What is it? She goes, "My family's Irish. I was going to do this big, I needed to peel, like, I don't even know how many potatoes. I wanted to do this traditional thing for my dad." Mm-hmm. And she goes, "You don't have a potato peeler in your property." And our head of housekeeping is all over the place in town. And she has just about everything in her car. And she's like, "Potato peeler, got it, on it." Right. And, you know, literally 15 minutes later, there was a potato peeler sitting at the door in an envelope. We didn't bother. We just sent her a message and said,
"Service."
Yeah, there you go. There's your potato peeler. And she said, "Well, I'll make sure I return it." Or, no, it's fine. The house obviously needs a potato peeler.
Right. Just leave it there.
Yeah. So it happens. And then after the stay, we encourage people to leave a review. 72% of our guests leave reviews.
Incredible.
It's an extremely high amount of guests. And we don't pay them. They don't get a discount. There's no incentive other than to leave a positive review. And some of those reviews are just over the top. We had a guest that left what I'm considering our number one review of all time. And when you've had 2,500 reviews on Airbnb and another 1,500 reviews on other sites altogether, about 4,000 reviews, for a review to stand out is a big deal anymore. And I hope I say this correctly, but the guest who was staying at a property we have in Ashland said, "I've only ever had one view better in my entire life. And that was the view of the Parthenon." the view I have when I woke up this morning is second to that view. What a statement. I responded back to him. I said, "FYI, I'll be asking for your permission to put that in an upcoming ad."
yes, of course. Service is everything, and you know that, and you've got it. You've grabbed it by the ankles.
When I'm talking to clients in the beginning, I always talk about old school versus new school. The majority of our clients usually fit a couple demographics. Either they have multiple properties and they're very busy and they just don't have time to manage them as a vacation rental. Mm-hmm. And that's how I often describe our company, as new school meets old school. Mm-hmm. We're the very best of technology. We're extremely technology driven. Our classification, as far as the government is concerned, is a software company. We're considered a software company because of what we do. We're a software that manages other softwares, basically. So, but at the same time, it's very old school customer service. Mm-hmm. So the combining of that seems to work out very well for people. I don't say this comment lightly, but we've never advertised for a client. Not one single time. Mm-hmm. So all 100 clients that we have all come organically to us. And we feel very lucky, but it's been a nice way to grow.
Now you have your design services, and you did touch on this. So you do it for clients, but are you still doing design services privately for people?
I do. Not as much as I used to. I've been limiting that as the company has been going through this growth phase, especially the last mm-hmm. year. There's a want of it. I used to position it into what we call downtime. So we would hope that, you know,
you don't have anymore.
Yeah, we haven't had the downtime that we used to have. So in the fall or in the winter, I would often take on two or three projects, either locally or sometimes not. Work on those particular projects. I've been really careful. I actually haven't said yes to a design project for this fall or winter yet, because we have been so busy. My last big design project that I took on was where our new portfolio is, which is in Baja, Mexico, in Loreto, Mexico. And it was a beachfront home that had been purchased in foreclosure and obviously needed everything. So they had the construction side of the crew and I was the design side. And that's the first time I've worked on a project outside of the country and learning the ins and outs of trying to ship things to another country is really interesting.
Great learning experience.
I may not repeat it again soon, so.
imagine that in this day and age right now, it's quite the challenge.
It can be difficult in any way. We forget how many components of anything are built in other countries. I just finished a project recently over in Grants Pass in Josephine County. And the last thing that we were able to accomplish were the high-end appliances that were in the kitchen. Most of the controls in high-end appliances are made in China. And so while they had these wonderful appliances that were ready to go, they had no brains. you know, they didn't have the guts in order to make these appliances. And so you're waiting for this one very small part to be able to complete that. And it threw us off by 3 months. The entire house was ready except for appliances. And they just now got delivered. And you forget about how we are tied, you know, throughout the world in parts and pieces of things until you, you know, go into stores or you order something. And we're doing that right now with mattresses. The ticking that we use on the mattress, we have a particular mattress we like to use at our properties that we kind of custom developed with a local manufacturer. But the ticking comes from a company internationally. They're out of stock of it. It's not in the U.S. right now. So we either choose something else or we wait. Our goal is to, we're looking at warehouse space and actually stocking things. You know, so are there things that we use all the time that maybe we should start setting aside as we grow?
Have an inventory.
Mm-hmm, we're growing into the Oregon coast right now. The company we would consider, if there was a competitor of kind of what we do, is backing out of a lot of the Oregon coast right now, doing to some restructuring on their side. And it's opened up a opportunity for a company like ours to go in. And again, it's a, you know, I grew up in Santa Cruz in Monterey in California. A lot of the Oregon coast reminds me of my childhood there. It doesn't take a lot to push me over into that direction to grow, and it's tangible. We can be over there in a couple hours.
Oh yeah. So the coast is beautiful here. I love it.
Yeah. So it's a great area to market and be in. It's a great investment market. The interesting thing that has been very popular here for a while, but now even more so, we work with, I can't even tell you how many real estate agents now that are bringing investors into this area who are looking specifically for a property that they can escape to if they need to. Mm-hmm. But if they don't need to escape to that property, can it be used as a vacation rental?
Right.
And if it will be used as a vacation rental, how are they going to furnish it? And how will it be managed?
Right.
And it's been a pretty quick, easy answer for a number of real estate agents in this area. And we have some phenomenal relationships with some of the brokers here who we literally tour with the client and with the broker. And thumbs up or thumbs down, or you know, we believe this property could make more money than this property, and this is why. It is one of the pluses of having lived here off and on for 30 years is watching this area grow and change and have a feel for what will work and what won't work. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I'm wrong.
What brought you to Ashland, and what is it that kept you coming back? Mm. Why do you love it so much here?
My grandparents owned a property over on the Oregon coast in Coos Bay, Bandon. I am the product of surfer children. My parents found out that I was coming into existence when they were in their late teens. Mm-hmm. And I arrived 9 months later. And from time to time, there seemed to be a reason why we might have to leave where we were at and escape to Oregon for a month or two. And my dad used to joke that Ashland is where the VW bus ran out of gas. So we were halfway between Santa Cruz and Monterey and trying to get to Coos Bay, Bandon. Mm-hmm. And we would stop in Ashland for a period of time. Mm-hmm. I think my first picture here is a Polaroid picture when I was 12 years old, sitting on the doorstep of a bed and breakfast, a bed and breakfast that I later wound up managing in, 25 years later.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
Yeah. It's really interesting to have,
circle.
Yeah, to have that picture of that. But I always loved this area. I never considered myself an ocean person. I like trees and mountains and lakes and rivers. And I knew even in college, I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do for a living at that time, but I knew where I wanted to live. Mm-hmm. And 2 weeks after I graduated college, I moved up here. I knew this was going to be home. And even though I've not lived here for periods of time, as long as 5 years, I've always owned property here. This has always been home. So this is more home than where I grew up.
I've heard you, you know, just speak about how much you love it. So we've got trees and hiking trails, and I absolutely love the landscaping here. Mm-hmm. Every season is beautiful, you know, and I'm from the East Coast, so I'm used to a diversity of trees, but this, it's nothing like this. It's quite beautiful.
Yeah.
So besides the landscape and the environment, what is it here for you?
I remember a person, my ex, who was also from the East Coast, who felt that when he first moved here, that people were being false. And I said, what do you mean they're being false? And he said, everybody here says thank you and please and I'm sorry. And he goes, I don't think they're being real. Because I think they're just like what are they drinking? Who's drinking the Kool-Aid?
That's why he thought they were false? That is so funny to me.
And I remember being in the car with him one time and he honked at somebody and I grabbed his arm. I said, we don't honk at people here unless there's a problem. You know, if there's a problem, like, you know, there's something on the road, you need to, your light's out, something like that. But if they're, you know, if the light turned color and they didn't move yet, don't worry about it.
Right.
So I think part of it was the pace. I often describe this area as Santa Cruz without the ocean. There's there's a certain mentality, you know, having a college here, having it being Ashland being an artistic area. And again, you know, what you're surrounded by, not only what you're surrounded by, but what you can get to. You know, we can get to the snow in a half hour. Mm-hmm. We can get to the coast in less than 2 hours. If you want a desert environment, great. Head east and you're there in 90 minutes.
Right.
Everything, it's sort of like a little micro version of so many places that I've lived all over the country. All these different components exist here. So whether it's the, you know, the geography of the area or the general attitude of the people, mm-hmm. I've always found this area extremely comfortable. You know, we're lucky enough to live in a historic farmhouse across from a winery. And people stop by. If we're in our front yard, people stop by and they just talk. You know, they might be running or on their bicycles or just wandering around. Mm-hmm. I enjoy that. My grandparents moved here from Spain and their doors were always open and mm-hmm. people were always stopping by and there were always conversations mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and I enjoyed that life. And where we live now, I feel we've really opened ourselves up to that. And you never know how the day's going to go. And I kind of like that. I like not having everything be as predictable as mm-hmm. I used to need it in my prior life.
So I'm going to back up a little.
Sure.
And ask you, I know I saw you on an interview last week and you speak about your give back philosophy.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate you bringing that up.
And yes, and I would like to hear about that and how you developed that, what brought you to it.
Easy. I mentioned before that my grandparents came from Spain. They felt extremely lucky to be able to create the life that they did here. They landed in San Francisco. They met other families on the boat coming over. Those families got together and purchased an apartment building, a very small apartment building in San Francisco, and they lived there for 14 years. They used the money that they received from selling that building, and they all bought small farm properties just outside of Santa Cruz.
What a great story.
Yeah. And over the years, as those families moved away and did other things, my grandparents continued to add to their properties by buying adjoining properties. And my grandmother used to tell us, you know, this is not where we came from, but we're so lucky to have what we have. And we talked about people coming over. They were always giving back to families in need and needing a temporary place to stay or food. They were just actively always involved. And my grandmother would sit and tell, we were all grandsons until my sister came along. And she'd say, I don't want to tell you it's not important to get in your life. It's important to, you know, have a certain amount of material goods and own the property that you live in. She said, but I don't want you ever to think that your whole life is supposed to be about getting. You need to know where that line is and you need to start giving. You need to start giving even if it's only in time and it can't be money from the moment that you can. And she made sure even in elementary school and high school that we were in positions where we were giving back in time, not in money. She said, there's going to be that line that you cross in your life where it may be more easy to give financially than it is of time. Mm-hmm. And you need to recognize when that happens. And hopefully my hope for you all is that you'll get to a position in your life where you can do both, where you can give back financially and in time. Mm-hmm. And that's always been my goal. My motivation in this company has never been to become the next Netflix or the biggest this or the biggest that. Mm-hmm. It's all a motivator or a driver to do the next thing. Mm-hmm. And that's to give back more. So we're very structured about that. We meet once a year. I meet with two or three people that are very important to me. And we make those decisions on where we're going to give. Gives me the power of no, which is really important mm-hmm. to be able to say to somebody else, no, I'm sorry, we can't do that. We've made our decisions for the year.
Right.
And so that we can keep it very focused. But as we continue to grow, I'm very well aware of what those next plans are going to be and how we give back more and how I can give back in in time again, and not just financially.
Mm-hmm. That's excellent. I see that what I heard was that you did 20% of finances and 80% of your personal time.
That's the desire, is to reach that. In the meantime, you know, we do things that are very specific. Our purchasing that we do in design, 80% of that are through local connections.
Excellent.
We make sure that we try and support our local community as much as possible with the purchasing that we do. We realize we could spend less and do it in different ways.
Yes.
But it's one of the reasons that our clients choose us as well. They like telling that story. We like telling that story.
It's a great story.
It's a great story. As we are able to, give back, or I'm personally able to give back in time, that's the goal. I would love to be in that full-time role in another 5 or 6 years.
I'm so very touched by the story of your grandparents. It is just, it's a story for every child. It's a very important story because people lose sight very easily, too easily. Mm-hmm. And we lose sight. And with so much social media and technology, we don't have the personal interaction that we grew up with, that you grew up with and I grew up with, that your grandparents could take the time to sit down with you and tell you how important this is. I applaud you, first of all, for listening to your grandparents and doing this give back.
It's not meant to be pedestal standing at all. What we do is beneficial to others in accommodation stays. For every dollar that's spent in accommodation, 2 more dollars are spent locally in the community. That might be in food. It could be in shopping, going to wineries, plays, whatever those availability are. So, you know, if our company does X amount of dollars, 2 more dollars from every dollar of that is being spent local in the community. And that's with what's going on continually still right now, that's a significant amount of money that's coming into the valley that people are spending. And one of the things we did with our new website is we call it the people we play with. So on our website now, at no cost to anyone, these are the people that we play with. And so we promote them through their websites on our website. And we watch the trafficking of that. And we have one company in particular who does river rafting tours, mm-hmm. and paddleboard rentals. And they have now had to purchase 3 times as many paddleboards as they did in the past because of the amount of traffic that we're sending through our site to their site.
Oh, wonderful.
And we love hearing that. Mm-hmm. We love,
of course,
you know, finding small local retailers and making sure that people that are staying here know about, you know, this particular place or that particular place, and then hearing back from those people. It's fun because sometimes you don't catch the back end of the story.
Right.
My dad had, I think, the shortest philosophy I've ever heard of as far as a life philosophy. And that is, you know, if it's not fun, I'm not going to do it. Doesn't mean it has to be fun 100% of the time, but at the end of the day, can I look back at what I'm doing and how I'm living, and does it fall into that category? If it falls into that category in some way or another, then I know life's going in the right direction. And when it's not, it's time for corrective action.
I love that philosophy, and maybe somehow if I look back in my ancestry, I'm related to your father.
You never know. I start every morning by doing something that I may not be able to always do as the owner of Book Stay Hop, but I continue to do right now. On any given day, we have 600 guests. I am the only person in the company that responds to our guest reviews, and that's how I start every morning, with a cup of coffee at about 5 o'clock a.m. till about 7 a.m. And I sit and I respond to every single review that comes in, mostly positive, sometimes with some constructive criticism, but that's how I set my course and write my ship for the day, is to get a feel of what are we doing really well, and where are we missing something somewhere, and how are we going to correct that? And I'm not going to get that from anybody else responding directly to the guests like that.
Mm-hmm.
I've let go many aspects of what I do on a day-to-day business with that portion of the company, but I don't let go of that.
That's
because
great.
It tells the story of what's really going on.
That's
with
right.
us.
I'm delighted to hear of everything that you're doing, and I'm happy for you, for your business, and how well it's performing. And I know it's only going to grow from here. This is Mary Alice, and I want to thank you, Daniel Perry, for your time with us today. I'm so happy that Book Stay Hop is doing so well, especially during these times. And thank you for sharing your give back philosophy with us today. I think that was my favorite part of the conversation. Check it out, bookstayhop.com. This is Mary Alice, with love, from my heart to yours.